In a world where Mondays are taken over by a machine, welcome to Machine Mondays.
Hello, 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 Machiniacs and Shimadown fans, and welcome back to Machine Mondays. Happy New Year. Glad to be back and have some Shmodown to talk with you guys. But first, as usual, we got to give a huge thank you to David B for creating this awesome track for me, the official Machine theme. Thank you so much, David B. And if you want to check him out, you can find him at DavidBMusic21 on Twitter. Also got to give a huge thank you to Kevin the Smasher Smets for that awesome voice intro. I love it so much. And if you want to send Kevin some love, say hey, check out his awesome Star Wars KOTOR movie. You can find all of that at his Twitter at Kevin Smets. Let's get into the first episode of Machine Mondays in 2022. We are talking the Shmodown Awards. And your girl got a couple nominations. So we're going to break them down. I'm going to give you my thoughts. Maybe give away some of where my votes are going. So let's just jump right into it. The awards are going to be airing later this month. Super exciting. So yeah, let's go. Starting with Player of the Year. I know this has been kind of a big debate, a discussion. Even the Rundown guys had some trouble kind of trying to figure out the best way to decide. So for the nominations, we have Marisol McKee, Griffin Newman, Mike Kalinowski, Ethan Irwin, and Thomas Harper. All amazing players, all had amazing seasons. But I definitely think the race here is between Marisol and Griffin. You know, Ethan, he did have some great moments, some great wins, a really tough team's loss. And Thomas Harper, yeah, he became the Star Wars champion. But when you're kind of going up against players who not only play in multiple divisions, but play in multiple divisions well. So you have Marisol, Griffey, and Mike all playing in more than one division. I think that's pretty impressive. And where Mike kind of loses it for me is, while yes, he is the competitor in this kind of group that has played in the most divisions. I mean, Ethan also dabbled in Inner Geekdom, which was really impressive to see as well. And he did pretty decent. Mike, to his own admittance, didn't really give or couldn't really give the other two divisions the prep time that they needed. So while yes, it's impressive that he plays in three divisions, he didn't really give teams and singles the focus that it deserved, that it required. So he wasn't as strong in those divisions as he could have been or as he was in Inner Geekdom. So I don't think you can just put somebody on that Player of the Year pedestal for playing multiple divisions when they haven't really, you know, excelled in all three of those divisions. I think that would have given Mike the edge if he really was kind of killing it majorly in singles or killing it majorly in teams. Yes, he had some great teams wins. Yes, he had some great singles wins. But, you know, he admitted several times, you know, and was kind of giving himself that out and excuse that, well, you know, I'm doing this just for fun, just to try to get extra points for my faction. You know, if I don't win, it's because I'm putting most of my energies into Inner Geekdom. And it was like a bunch of kind of like, you know, excuses so that he could cover his butt if he lost, so that he could, you know, show that, well, I'm so good, I didn't even need to study if he won. So it was like this weird energy he was giving to those other two divisions that just made me feel like, you know, if you're gonna brag about playing in multiple divisions, then you need to be good at multiple divisions, you know? And if that's going to be your calling card to be Player of the Year, then you need to do more than just play in those divisions. You need to, you know, blow people away. You need to be a champ in those other two divisions or close to that. So that's where Mike kind of loses me a little bit for Player of the Year and why it's down to Marisol and Griffin to me, because they both killed it and excelled in teams and singles. Marisol went on to be champion, and Griffin, he was undefeated all season. So I might give Griffey the edge just because, you know, he found himself playing in two championship matches. It's spectacular. He went undefeated. He was amazing in teams. He was amazing in singles. He was an impressive player all season. So even though he doesn't have a belt to show for it, he came out of nowhere in his rookie season to impress, to put champions on notice. So definitely a really tough call between Marisol and Griffey. But I might actually give the edge to Griffey. Singles player of the year, we have Dan Merle, Griffin Newman, Marisol McKee, Ethan Irwin, and me, Janine the Machine. So really exciting to be nominated here. I don't see myself winning this based off of the competition. But yeah, I mean, I had an amazing season. I had some amazing matches. I played the best I've ever played. I had the most wins I've ever had in a season. So definitely impressive, I think. But compared to, you know, Marisol kind of making that history, and like I said, with Griffey and Dan just being the GOAT, and Ethan being a former champion and still playing amazing. Yeah, definitely don't see myself getting this one. Happy to even just be amongst those epic names. But singles player of the year, I mean, it's tough again. It's kind of between Griffin and Marisol. I think Griffey is a great overall player. He's done more in more divisions and impressed in multiple divisions, while he did have a stronger teams season than Marisol. But obviously Marisol had the stronger single season as she's a singles champion. So that's kind of where I'm kind of on the fence between the two of them. But, you know, why wouldn't I vote for myself? Because, you know, it's me and I know I'm not winning anyway. But, you know, so yeah, my vote would be between Marisol, Griffey, and myself. We have IG player of the year. I mean, I think it would be easy to say Mike because he has the belts. He has played amazing in IG. But there were some people who really gave him a run for his money. I mean, Amaru was really close to beating him, I think, when it came down to that final round between the two of them. And, you know, Amaru had a really tough question, and Mike's question seemed a little bit more easy. That kind of had Amaru on people's radar for IG player. Chandru, always amazing. Robert Parker had an epic season, was so proud of him. And for him and Mike to come down to the wire like that, spectacular. And even Robert to kind of have those missteps and to come back to where now they're going to sudden death. Like, that bounce back from Robert was amazing. Mara, like, great season as well. So this one was definitely tough to pick. I might just keep my pick there a little bit of a secret. But I will say, yes, very impressed with Robert at Spectacular. Mike, obviously the champion. Mara doing some amazing things. And Amaru, even. He had a great rookie season. So that was a bit of a tough one for me. Star Wars player of the year. We have Thomas Harper, Andrew DiMillanta, Nikki DiMillanta, Gold Leader, and Laura Kelly. Definitely all had amazing seasons. I think it's kind of an easy pick to go with Thomas Harper. You know, he had the strongest season, obviously. He got the belt. He played the best of the best in impressive matches. Always kept his composure. Came out swinging at Spectacular. And yeah, definitely, I think that's kind of an easy pick for me is Thomas Harper. Team of the year, Corruption, Lightning Time, King Arthur, Shazam, and Danger Zone. You know, Danger Zone had some really surprising, tough moments that past season. King Arthur really came out to impress. Corruption kind of had a moment and then kind of fell off a little bit. Lightning Time, they really had that tough loss, but overall a pretty solid season. So I would have to give it to Shazam. They shone bright all season. Didn't really have any missteps, didn't have any huge kind of chinks in their armor. And they, you know, defended. So Shazam, 100%. Manager of the year, Koi, Bobby Gucci, Sam Levine, Kaiser, and Shannon Barney. I mean, Shannon Barney has the singles champion. She has the Inner Geekdom champion. She has the faction championship 2 years running. So easy pick there. But I always talk up Koi as a manager, just what he says to his players. He's very thoughtful when it comes to his players. He really knows his people well. He knows what to say to them in certain moments. He has a great attitude. So I always love Coy as a manager. And Gucci as well. Like, I mean, I never want to say anything great about Bobby Gucci, but like, you can't deny that, like, he played things really smart. He delegated well. People were scoffing at the dossier and the rookies, and like, they showed up and showed out, and he came out of nowhere to almost take the faction championship. So definitely really insane what Gucci was able to do despite everyone doubting him. So I will give him that. So definitely, you know, I love Coy as a person, as a manager. He just has such a great attitude when it comes to his players. He knows them so well. He actually feels like he thinks about strategy when it comes to specific players and what to tell them to kind of get them to focus in certain ways. And I love that about him. Shannon has the record to show, you know, that she is the top spot for that. Bobby Gucci, what he was able to do with everyone kind of against him and laughing in his face, pretty freaking impressive. So those would be my top three, you know, kinds of picks for that. Then we have Rookie of the Year: Newman, Thomas Harper, Nikki DiMilanta, Amaru Moses, and Josh Horwitz. Josh Horwitz came out of nowhere with some great wins, some great matches. Him and Perry made a really great team. He had some really surprising moments. So I loved seeing Josh Horwitz kind of come out of nowhere to get all these wins. Nikki, she was a bright, shining star. People love her, and rightfully so. She was really exciting to see. You know, I don't know if people expected her to be in her husband's shadow or something like that, or not be as good or something, but on her own, like, she is epic. So definitely was great to see her trajectory last season. Thomas Harper, obviously, getting a belt in your first season is an impressive feat. Amaru, too. Strong Intergeekdom player coming out the gate, and just a great person, too. And Griffey, like, amazing season. Found himself in two matches in the final freaking spectacular. So definitely great picks, definitely tough picks. Definitely one I had to think really hard on. Then we have Comeback Player of the Year. Me, again, JTE, Andrew DiMilanta, Mara Konopic, and David Del Rio. All great picks. This is one where I think I deserve that. I'm not in even kind of a cocky way. Like, everyone has seen where I started and where I ended up at the end of season 8. Like, I fought my ass back so hard to play the best matches I've ever played. You remember every match I played last season, because I killed myself because I had a great win or a close, impressive loss. So I think I deserve that. I think I earned that award. So definitely me, 110%. I think I earned that. My opponents in this category, amazing players who definitely came back from some tough things, but where I was and where I ended up this past season has been incredible, and I'm so freaking proud of myself, and I definitely think I've earned that award. So yeah, me. All the way me. If I'm gonna say me on anything, it's that one. Then we have Moment of the Year: Kevin Smets returning at the Spectacular 6. Marisol wins the title, first woman to win singles championship. DiMilanta versus Damon won, score 51-50 in sudden death. Mara returns to win the title. Wildberries unite at Spectacular 6. All really fun, great moments. Marisol's is a huge, huge thing for females in the league. You know, an epic thing for sure. I was there for that moment, so I know how big it was. So it's definitely between that and Kevin for me, Kevin coming back. Kevin had a personal battle that he was willing to share with this community and involve them in that and advocate for people who are going through what he's going through and share, you know, how he was doing and educating and doing all of these things to really you know, this was something, you know, most people might want to keep really private, but he really wanted to share his story and his journey with the community of the Schmodown to, you know, and the way they came out to support him, you know, the way he felt like, you know, what I'm going through, I want to prevent this from happening to anyone else. So I'm going to, you know, put the word out there and put information out there and, you know, just the love he had for the show and the community and the love they showed back to him and him, you know, having the fight literally of his life. And then to come back from that, to still want to do this show and still excited and still having that same smasher energy. When he came out in that hoodie, like, I had tears in my eyes. I was so proud of my friend for coming back after such a life battle to get back in those, in this ring and, you know, get back into the zone of things. And it was just a sight to see. So definitely between those two moments for me, so excited for my friend and his big return and such an epic, epic moment. Marisol having a really epic moment for females in this game. So really tough between those two. Upset of the year. Me beating Dan Merle, Paige beating Ben Bateman, Andrew DeMolanta beating Alex Damon, Nikki DeMolanta beating Alex Damon, Press Room beating Danger Zone. So yeah, definitely those Damon losses were really tough for the Stars, for Alex. You know, for a long time he seemed unbeatable, so it was really hard to see that happen. And I think it was kind of an unexpected surprise thing to happen. So really, really huge upset for sure. Would I consider me beating Dan an upset? I think you can probably see anyone beating Dan as an upset. So I don't know if it's because it's me and, you know, where I was in compared to where Dan is that makes it an upset, or if it's just anybody beating Dan that makes it an upset. Because I think in going into this match, everyone expected Dan to win, but people were kind of happy, you know, if Dan won or if I won. So I don't know if that makes it that much of an upset. I think Paige beating Ben was an upset, but like, I think people maybe kind of wanted to see that happen. So, yeah. And Press Room, definitely like a new team coming out the gate. You know, Perry kind of being up and down with her play and being able to beat a seasoned team like Danger Zone was super impressive as well. So yeah, definitely some huge picks there. Am I going to vote for myself for everything? Maybe, but yeah, definitely some really strong picks in this category for sure. Podcast of the year. Okay, well, I'm against the Schmodown rundown, so I don't think I'm taking that one. Beyond the Schmodown, Schmodown Backstage, Machine Mondays, and A Certain Point of View. So we are a two-time award-nominated Schmodown podcast, guys. So we appreciate that. We'll take that because we are not winning this award when the rundown is involved. I don't think we're winning this award when the rundown isn't involved, but so proud to even just be considered and to be nominated because, you know, at Machine Mondays, I love doing this. I love talking Schmodown from my perspective. I love being able to do my own thing and talk about this show, you know, without the Schmodown restraints, as it were, and just be real with you guys about stuff. So I'm really proud of that. I'm really proud of some of the episodes we've had, you know, getting to talk to Kevin about his return, and, you know, having some of my Schmodown friends on and talk about fun things and on all of that. So really, really proud of getting a nomination here. I know that's all we're getting here, but I'm still voting for Machine Mondays because I am proud as hell of this show. So yes, the rundown is probably winning, but I'm proud of Machine Mondays. So yes, gets my vote every time. Feud of the year. Merle versus Rocha. Kalinowski versus Chandru. DeMolantes versus Alex Damon. Bateman versus Verbetti. And Gold Leader versus Harper. I think the most kind of harsh one would be Bateman versus Verbetti. You know, I think that was kind of the most kind of barbs thrown back and forth. So definitely the most fun one, I'd say. So I would probably go Bateman for Betty. Cause you know, Merle versus Rocha, yes, they've had their kind of back and forth over the years, but that was always kind of like a friendly fire type kind of rivalry. So now we move on to match of the year. Andrew DeMolanta versus Alex Damon won. Corruption versus Shazam. Kalinowski versus Parker. Kalinowski versus Chandru. Me versus Marisol. Harper versus Nikki DeMolanta. Hauser versus Kalinowski. Merle versus Collins 2. Deception versus Blackjack. And Shazam versus Otter Couple. So I'm in here 3 times. Me versus Marisol. Deception versus me and Jacoby, which I am so proud that that's in there. And Shazam versus Otter Couple, me stepping in for Andrako in that team's match. So definitely, I mean, for me, those are probably really strong matches for me. So, I mean, I would put it between those 3 for me. And, you know, I'm kind of a little confused at Hauser Kalinowski. Yeah, that was kind of a bit of an intense match. But I would say something like Hannah versus Zipper and Brandon kind of coming back in that match was more impressive and more intense than Hauser versus Kalinowski. So, yeah, I would put maybe Brandon's match maybe over the Kalinowski Hauser if I were going to replace anything here. But just in terms of my matches, I mean, that was my first completely perfect game minus my 5. So I got my first perfect round that match. I was leading Marisol. Perfect round 2. Got my 2, my 3. Just missed my 5. So yeah, definitely a really tough loss. The hardest loss of the whole season for me. Because I was so close. Had I beaten her, I would have been on that road to the singles belt. Something I've been trying to do for 4 years. So definitely a really intense match. A really big back and forth. I don't think people expected me to hold my own against her. So really, really proud of that match. Despite the loss. Because it was literally down to that final question. So definitely a real contender there. I'm just super proud Deception versus Blackjack got nominated. I talk about this match a lot and I don't think people really know how crazy that was. I mean, me and Jacoby had a 10-point deficit going into that final round. Huge, huge, huge deficit. And so for us, it wasn't even about winning. It was just about not losing points for our faction. We knew we were going to lose, but we didn't want to lose like that. You know, we didn't want to completely embarrass ourselves. So the fact that like Jacoby just smiled at me and said, let's just do this. Let's just keep our attitudes positive and let's go for it was so special. And just like endeared me to that guy so much. Like friend for life in that moment. Because, you know, any other season I'm playing with anybody else and I'm getting defeated, I'm probably mentally giving up whether I know it or not, and I'm just done and I'm feeling like shit and I'm feeling like I let my faction down and I'm having all these negative thoughts just running through my brain. With Jacoby, he just smiles at me and laughs at how ridiculous the situation was and says, let's just go for it, let's just do what we can do. You know, we have an opportunity to lose with dignity, to lose with fun, and to not lose our faction any points. So that's what we're gonna freaking do. And the fact that we played and had the best kind of communication and teamwork with our back and forth in our round 2 to get ourselves out of that hole, that we were able to work together. He gets the 2, I get the 3. The 5 is a question nobody knows but me. And I'm able to pull that out and have that moment for us to at least just tie it up and get ourselves out of a hole. Was epic. Because I think at that point when the deficit was so huge, I think we were done. People assumed we were done. So for us to kind of bounce back and tie it up at least, I was so proud of that. So the fact that, like, you know, I talk about this match, I talked about this match on several episodes of Machine Mondays, was so excited about how we were able to fight our way back and fight our way out of that huge hole. And nobody really seemed to care. The fact that it's just at least even getting recognition makes me over the moon excited that it's even just there on the list. So to Jacoby, you're my dude for life. And I love that match. That was probably the most fun I've ever had losing. And I'm so happy I had that moment with you. So, and even to go back to the Dan upset as well. I'm so happy you were there managing me that day. If Roxy couldn't be there to have you in my corner and to celebrate with me and you just keeping me positive and keeping me high energy when I was like drained, Jacoby, you're my dude. you're my dude for life. So yes, I'm so glad that the blackjack match got recognized in these nominations. Definitely not winning, but I'm so proud that it was acknowledged. And Shazam versus Otter Couple. Crazy that, you know, my faction put that trust in me to step up. You know, we had the championship team. We had the team with the belts. And to, you know, give me that opportunity to get those belts back, you know, for our faction and to become a champion unexpectedly last minute to step in like that was a huge thing for me, was a proud moment for me. And to play as good as I played and to work so well with Jeff in our first time out, to have that great, those great teamwork moments when we had the betting round and I couldn't remember Jennifer Jason Leigh and I said single white female and he's like, oh, Jennifer Jason Leigh. And like, you know, just the mind melding and the way we worked together, not having ever played a match together. The fact that he trusted in me to be like, okay, if you're taking Capra, I can't help you, but I'm trusting you. And putting that trust in me to nail Capra for us. And just epic. So huge match, huge match. We actually, you know, took Shazam to the limit. Me playing Bibs for the first time and doing a championship match for the first time, having to do my first speed round, and all of that was super nerve-wracking. So to play my first championship match and play as well as I did with someone I've never played with before, to have my faction trust in me, to play as well as we played, to take them to the limit, you know, just only missing one question each in our first, in round one. It was another match where I only missed one question and that made the difference. So yeah, definitely an intense match. Great big championship match. Just epic. I'm so proud of the three matches that are nominated here for me because those were like big, shining, amazing moments for me. Hard moments, happy moments, exciting, intense moments. So yeah, I'm sorry to my fellow nominees, but any three of my matches, I'm just like, because I lived it, I was in it. Those were really special moments for me. Those are going to be what I'm choosing between. So yeah, insane. Faction of the year. We have the Exchange, Corruption, the Mercs, the Suspects, and the Dungeon. You know, I love the Dungeon. They're amazing. So many great people on the Dungeon. But it's gonna be, I mean, the Mercs have the team's champions, but I think it's gonna be between Corruption and Exchange. What the Exchange was able to do with what they had, having all those rookies and those rookies actually, you know, doing so well and playing so well, and Griffey kind of coming out of nowhere and getting those wins and, you know, coming from behind to almost take the faction title out of freaking nowhere is super impressive. But, you know, obviously you kind of have to say, well, the faction champions are the faction of the year, because that's kind of what you're saying when you make them faction champions, based on the points. But I think an argument could be made for the Exchange just because of what they were able to do and how far they were able to come from behind to even get so close to getting the faction championship. So I like taking other things into account when it comes to things like this. Like, I don't want to just settle for, okay, well, they were faction champions, so they're faction of the year. But, you know, I think there are other categories that are kind of easy to do that with, but I do like to try, if I can, come up with other reasonings for why another person could potentially win something. So yeah, an argument could be made for the Exchange, but I think the Corruption is probably the obvious pick there. Then we have Heel of the Year, Chandru, Rick Raddus, Mike Kalinowski, Gold Leader, and Gucci. You know, Kalinowski, he's always a great heel. He always gets on my nerves. He's always a big crybaby. You know, the way he was kind of barking off when I beat him was really fun to see. Raddus, he's hilarious and smarmy and a ridiculous character, and I love the commitment there. I feel like we didn't see a lot of Chandru this past season, so I don't know. But when we did see him, he was just as terrible as he always is. So, I mean, I would put it between those three, for sure. Definitely a tough pick there. Then we have Baby Face of the Year, Nikki DeMolanta, The Kid, me, Bibiani, and Beth May. I absolutely love Beth May. She is ridiculous and adorable and so funny. I love her to pieces. The Beast, he's always the sweetest. Me, I mean, it's me. you know, I'm always kind of just like my smiley self with a little bit of sass thrown in there. The Kid, I think they always just pick The Kid because it's the running joke that he is, has a baby face. So he's a baby face. And Nikki DeMolanta definitely came in really sweet and kind, and everybody fell in love with her. So I think it's a fair list of people. Very hard to pick there. But I would give the edge to Beth May just because she's so cute. I love her so much. And lastly, we have the Schmodown Media Award. So a little bit different from the podcast award, I guess. So we have the Let's Get Ready podcast, Spin from the Reel, Ultimate Schmodown After Show, A Certain Point of View, and Schmo Me the Money. So these are all kind of the fan-made after shows. All really great, all really dedicated. I've been on a few of these and, you know, they all do really good work. I would probably give Certain Point of View the edge. I think they are kind of the biggest and maybe the most popular when it comes to the fan community. And I think they're the most kind of consistent with their promotion and their posts and their kind of outside content that they involves Schmodown people, but it's not always Schmodown related. So I think they've built kind of a brand that's like Schmodown based, but also kind of has been able to branch out while still incorporating people involved with the Schmodown. So, I mean, I would maybe give them the edge, but all of these are really great shows who do a really good job. So it could go anyway. And then of course the Yodi Award going to, John Rocha, his final season. He's retired. He was a big part of the show, a big inspiration to a lot of people, particularly like POCs like me who came into the game. So yeah, definitely a good honor for the Outlaw. So those are all the nominations. I was just really proud to even be on so many. I don't think I've been on that many before. Really bummed that the first year where I could potentially actually win something, it's not an in-person thing where I could be all dressed up and look all pretty and go up and give a speech and all of these things. Really bummed about that, but you know, such is the world of today. So yeah, hopefully I can still give a speech in some capacity if I do win anything, because, you know, I'm really proud of the nominations. I'm really proud of, you know, the season I had. I'm really honored that people have seen something in me and have really been rooting for me for so long. And that means really a lot to me. So yeah, really, really exciting to get so many nominations. I can't wait to see how everything turns out if I win anything. That'll be really exciting. But even just to get nominated, you know, I know it's a corny thing to say, even just to get nominated means the world to me, but it really does. Just to see Machine Mondays acknowledged means a lot. To see that match with me and Jacoby be acknowledged means so much to me. My time with Roxy and the Stars, that was such a special time. Last season was such a big special season for me. And so to have the moments that have meant the world to me, have made me so proud being acknowledged, just means a lot. So thank you guys for an awesome year of support and love and encouragement and believing in the machine. It's meant a lot. And thank you for everyone who maybe votes for Machine Mondays and has listened to this show. And we're going to be back all season with some more fun things for you guys. So stay tuned for that. And thank you again. Happy New Year. So excited to be back talking Schmodown. Really exciting stuff. So again, guys, thank you for listening to another episode of Machine Mondays. Of course, this isn't the only show you can find on the It's a Wonderful podcast feed. We, of course, have Morgan Hasn't Seen every Wednesday, where I force Morgan to watch things he hasn't seen. This month long, we're talking competition movies. I was aching for some competition with the Schmodown gone, so I chose the series of competition movies. Last week, we talked Bad Words with Jason Bateman, and now we are talking Troop Beverly Hills, really fun movie from the early 90s. So that's what we're talking this Wednesday. Friday, of course, we have the main show, It's a Wonderful Podcast, where we give love to classic films. Morgan is the constant host over there, and I switch off co-hosting duties every other week with our other great co-host, Nolan Dean. And because of the sudden passing of Sidney Poitier, we will be doing a great kind of retrospective discussion of the Sidney Poitier movies we've discussed on the show. and just celebrating his life and his amazing talent and his amazing films. So yeah, it'll be a great Sidney Poitier driven episode of The Main Show. So check it out. Every Monday we have you covered with Machine Mondays, Wednesday with Morgan Hasn't Seen, and every Friday with It's a Wonderful Podcast. Find the podcast feed every place you can find podcasts. We also have the It's a Wonderful Podcast YouTube channel. We do some fun stuff over there. We just did a really fun Cobra Kai discussion on the new season. We're also going to be doing, you know, fun discussions of new movies coming out, TV shows, fun little videos. So, you know, we're growing and building that slowly but surely. So if you want to be the first to know what's going on, please like, share, and subscribe to the It's a Wonderful Podcast YouTube channel. We also have the Patreon. It's a Wonderful One on patreon.com. A great way to support Morgan and I in our podcast endeavors. It really means a lot to us. So you can support us over there. We have some really fun tiers. So check it out. It's a Wonderful One on patreon.com. You can find me on Twitter at Janine Debean_Janine Debean on Instagram. Find the show at It's a Wonderful One on Twitter. If you want to get any merch for any of our shows or check out any of my art, you can find it at my TeePublic shop at g9design.teepublic.com. I also have my merch on sale in print form at my Big Cartel shop, g9design.bigcartel.com. So check it out over there. And thanks again so much for all your support and listening to the show. I love you guys so much. So glad to be back talking Schmodown. And until next time, guys, XO, XO, Machine out.